You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians. As you turn there, we'll let the orchestra come and join you. And thank you, orchestra. I know many people missing in that area, but you've been so faithful. And God's people have been faithful all summer long. And it's been a real joy to my heart to see your faithfulness to our Lord. We're going to jump around tonight. I'll get to Philippians in just a moment. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Father, what a joy and delight to come to church on Sunday. We look forward to the day. We long for the day to always come to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then at the end of the day, oh, even as a little boy, I'd remember Sunday night, disappointed I had to go to school the next day. Thank you for the joy to be with your people. Thank you for your word. Thank you for hymn books and song books that we use. And I pray that tonight this would be a message that we could use in our life, especially as we approach the fall season of the year. And really, as just a few months back, ahead of us, we move into 2025. God, may we always be pressing toward the next great event as we enjoy the present event. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming to you tonight on behalf of one word. It's a word I think that you'll be helped by tonight. I've tried to practice this word every day in my life. It's an important word. We're going to see it in the scripture. To me, it's vitally important as we prepare for school. We have such a young church. We have nurseries that are filled on both properties tonight, and multiple nurseries are filled. You go to a church, you preach, and as I preach in churches across America, a lot of times on a Monday or Tuesday, get back on Wednesday, I can tell you if the church is going to be around in 5 years. If the nurseries are empty, it's over. Four great cathedrals in New York City, been around 100 some years, I think 150 years, all four just merged together in the last year or two because there's nobody left. And they got rid of these properties that one time were filled, but the nurseries were empty. A church is not a museum just for old people. And by the way, I am all in favor of Titus 2, aged men and aged women. I think you're foolish not to glean from aged men and aged women. One reason, they have experience in life. They've already been where you're trying to go. If I were you, I'd find them in this church, and we have many of them. But also know that we have a young church, nursery age and preschool age, and we have all these bus kids. 1.6 million have ridden a bus to church in this area. And we have junior church and primary church and multiple beginner church, on and on goes. And youth, young, I think of all the teenagers I saw on these balconies today. Great, great crowd of teenagers rode the bus today. And then I think of our own kids here and then the college age and young couples and young single adults. And I thank God for all of you. But there's a word I come to you as we approach fall, as we approach school, as we approach the last 4 months of the year, September, October, November, December. You're going to have to put this word in your vocabulary. We all need it in our lives, from the youngest to the elders. Yeah, we had Pastor Bertram was with us for years. And as many of our fellows are out pastoring now churches, he pastors in Arizona, and he still flies in on Thursday and teaches several classes in the college. He's such a blessing. Brother Bertram was at college orientation many years ago, several years ago now, and he said this. He said, students, ask yourself at the close of every day. I was wondering what he was going to say. And I was getting ready to write it down, and I did write it down. But I thought, what question do you ask? I ask a question, and Lord, if I sinned against you, bring it to my attention. I want it all confessed. I don't want anything as I go to bed tonight, pillow my head, where I've been wrong with you or wrong with anyone. Please bring it to my attention right now. He's going to tell us something else, and it wasn't what I just said. He said, ask yourself this question every day, and not just in Bible class, ask it all of your life. I thought, this is going to be good, and it was good. He said, ask yourself this question. What did I learn today? What did I learn today? I'm coming to you on the behalf of one word, learn. In these 4 months, beginning September, and of course now in August, I want to learn. I want to learn more of the Bible. I want to learn more doctrine. I want to learn more hymns. I want to learn more. I love cars. It's not my obsession because I really don't need that in these last days of before eternity. Spend a lot of time on. I love the old 283 engines, the 327 engines, the 289 engines, the Mustangs. I love looking at cars. I never do. I just love it. I love looking at the pictures. But I want to learn every day. I've never used a computer. I don't know how to use one. But I bought Brother Moyer made sure I got an iPad. I bought one for this church and one for the house. And my iPad has something like, I can study my Bible on it. And it has, I know the name, I know what it is, Wicca something, Wikipedia. I know what it is. I'm not trying to trap you. But I study it all the time. I've been studying for beginning of school. I have a binder this thick, about this thick, and I go to Wikipedia because 2 years ago with elementary kids, it was animals in the Bible. I learned so much about animals. I learned about insects. I learned that bees speak to one another through their fluttering of the wings. I learned there's always one that leads the way, and we just went through the bees over here at the property and got rid of them, and they transport them to another location. I read that those bees 10 miles away could sense where the hive was over here at Clyde Avenue. I learned that the smartest animal is the pig. I learned that the cow, you can be harsh to a cow and mean to a cow and get a cow upset, and that cow will hold it and will hold it for years to come. They see you again, he's still mad at you. Man, that's amazing. I learned that the mules, when one mule dies, they always circle it, and they just keep going in a circle grieving over the death of a mule. It's an amazing thing. Last year was trees in the Bible. Oh, it's so wonderful. The tree of life and the apple tree in the Bible and the fruit trees in the Bible and the sycamore and the sycamite. I pastored for all these years. I never knew there was a difference between the two. One grows in the desert and you make caskets out of it. One grows in the city and you eat fruit from it. They have so many different contrasts, sycamine and sycamore. I tell you, I love learning. Amen. This year, it's rocks in the Bible. We're building right now for our kids to see. Brother Reimers has got this project. There's 12 layers of stones in the foundation of heaven. God gives us all the stones. I've been studying every one of them. I've studied the 12 stones of the breastplate. All the stones in the Bible. Your kids, I told them at kindergarten graduation, gather stones all summer long. Hide them under your bed. Parents are mad at me. Kids, don't get these pebbles. Get big ones. Stick them under there. Well, I forget who it was, but somebody went on vacation. They had a suitcase going back to the airport, and this little kid's, why is it so wet? Got my rocks in there. Yes! Torment these parents. Well, maybe not. I love learning. I think you do as well. I have my science book. I study anatomy all the time. How we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. I know when I'm going to come to the elementary kids next year, I can hardly wait for that one. It is so amazing how God made this for us. I'm coming to you on the behalf of learning. Do not begin elementary school or junior high school or high school or your senior year of high school and just flutter it away. Just let it fly away. And you miss the joy of learning. Tonight I want you to know that the word learn means to increase in knowledge. And I'm asking this church, let's not be ignorant when it takes time to study. I'm so tired of people saying, fun, 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 fun. Life is not about fun, 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 fun. Life is about learning. Amen. It's about work. It's about integrity. It's about values. And I tell you, that won't bring you fun. It will bring you joy. Fun is the outside in. Joy is inside out. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Learn to walk with God. Sing to God. They never put me on the card to sing here, the cue card to sing. But I tell you what, I get alone in my, the other morning, it's very early in the morning, and I began to sing. I tell you, it was wonderful. I can envision a Philharmonic orchestra behind that beautiful voice that I have that I don't have. But when I get to heaven, God's going to give me a good voice. Learning is to increase in knowledge. It's to be increasing in understanding. It's to become informed about a subject. It's to develop habits where you can place in your life advancement. It's knowledge. It's a process. It's understanding. It's behavior. It's skills. It's values. It's attitudes. It's preferences. And all of those things need to be in your life. We've been talking in our adult Sunday school class. I'll get where I'm going in a minute. We gave them all some model clay a week ago, the young couples in our class, and said, just make something, fashion something. And that's what we do with our children. They're a heritage. We're to help mold them, see how they're bent. I think I mentioned it in class today. Well, I never told my son Tim to be a pastor. But before he was born and when my wife was carrying him 40-something years ago, I said, Lord, would you call him to be a preacher? Those girls, before they were born, I prayed, and I know my wife did, that they'd be preachers' wives. And God answered our prayer. All of our boys preached the word of God, and our girls serve alongside. All of our grandkids, 14, are in Sunday school church. It's just such a thrill. But I never told Tim, even if after he worked with us 12 years and they became a pastor 7 years ago, pastor in the church in Arizona, never told him until a couple years ago that I prayed every day. I never wanted him to feel like that he had to be a pastor just because I'm a pastor. I would have been proud of him had he been a police officer. I've been proud of him had he been a doctor. I've been really proud of him if he became a millionaire. Said they think Dad's a millionaire and they like that. No, that's not true. I'm coming to the scripture. I want us to learn. Life, young people, is so, so amazing if we learn to learn and learn. God's word says this here in Philippians 4, and I want you to turn to a few texts with me today, and then I'll get you, I'm jumping around instead of one particular text. I want you to read 4:11 with me, 4:9 if you'll read it. 4:9, are you ready? Verse number 9, ready, begin. Those things which ye have both learned . How about verse 11? Ready? Begin. Not that I speak in respect. You learn contentment. It's a skill. It's developed along the pathway of life. Laban was not a Christian, of New Testament term for the Old Testament. Laban was a man that had false gods. But he said to his son-in-law, in Genesis, in chapter number 30, verse 27, Laban said, I have learned by experience that God hath blessed me because of thee. Learned behavior. What are you learning? Do we know the Bible? Do we know mathematics and science and history and how to work in, and you folks that are so brilliant with these computers, and we have about 100 people in this church in medicine and doctors. What are we learning? Are we advancing in accounting? And are we advancing in these subjects of life that come our way? I want you to turn to one more, and then I'm going to quote some scripture for you. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew 11, it's a powerful text that our Lord was speaking. So often people say, well, the Christian life is so hard. God says, my yoke is easy. God's word says the way of the transgressor is hard. You ask the drug or the drunk addict, a drug addict or the drunk, or you ask the persons in jail tonight, if sin is the easy way, it's the hard way. The wages of sin is death. There's consequences to sin. And the way of the transgressor is hard. But look what God's word says in chapter number 11 of the book of Matthew. Let's read verse 28, 29, and 30. Ready, begin. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A yoke, we had one in the old library at the school building at the other property. And a yoke, we had it where we took it, hung it on the wall. Here's an oxen and here's an oxen. A big board, and it's carved out for their neck, and they strap it with leather. And this one, and they work together as a team. Now, if this one wants to go this way, and the person leading, they move this, and God says, you yoke up with me. Harness up with me, because my way is easy. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The subject tonight of, I'm on a learning campaign. I want to quote some scripture to you, and if you feel like writing them down, you can write them down. But I want to encourage us tonight, as we approach the fall season, learn good works. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 14, but continue in the things which thou hast learned. Continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he's speaking about works and serving. Serve people. Life is not people serving you, serving me. Life is about serving others. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today. And though it be small, some neighborly deed, help somebody. Yeah, do something for somebody. Do something for a senior citizen. Do something for a struggling soul. Do something for someone that's struggling on the pathway of life. Do someone that needs a ride to the hospital, the doctor. Do something. Cut a lawn, mow a lawn, whatever it might be. But help people.
Yep.
See a dear sweet lady, she's struggling with going to her car at the grocery store. And I know you have to be so very careful that you don't scare people off nowadays. But you might just ask politely, may I please help you push that and load your car for you? I think they can. My wife and I were at the Walmart market the other day and picking up something, and the lady, there wasn't a tag on a $1 loaf of bread. And she went to the manager, he goes, well, just, she goes, can I give him the sale price? I think I'd like to give this couple a sale price. And she said, got the sale price. The manager said I could. It wasn't a loaf of bread, it was something else. Anyway, it was whatever it was. And you know, when we got all done, she said, did she say I'm a beautiful man? I think she said, you're a beautiful man. Is that what she said? I agreed 1,000% with her. Of course, she couldn't see very well. And she said to my wife, was it beautiful? Something like that. Just agree with me. That'd be a good thing. Thank you, sweetheart. And she said, you're a beautiful lady. And I got all done. I passed her a gospel tract. She goes, I knew it. I could feel it. I can feel it. I can see it. I can know it. I know what kind of people you are. Hey, listen, you help a lady get her groceries in the car and she beats you over the head with her cane or whatever, you don't look very good. Look like your pastor. Old and wrinkled. Isn't it fun to help people? It's little to you. I don't know if you watch. I don't know what goes on up there when those little kids come by. You must be able to see them because they're always looking at themselves. That is one of the highlights of my life. Those little kids. You know, my goal and your goal in life, and I watch you, my goal is to be kind to these children. Brother Fenner, you know it's true. I kind of like sitting down preaching. No wonder why you're so comfortable there. I'll take a root beer float, please. Just bring it on down here right now. We ought to start serving food during preaching. That'd be a good thing. And you folks watching at home, I see you right now. You're eating popcorn. I know in North Carolina you've been in church all day today. But I know you're eating popcorn right now. But I want our teachers to be our teachers of the best. Oh, I watch them. They're so sweet with kids and teenagers. You know, I have a big army of workers going to camp next week. Most kids that have grown up here, they're adults now, and they're business people and servants of the Lord. They're going to camp as counselors. I guarantee it, all those workers are going to be nice to your kids. We want your kids to have the best life. We want them to have a life that's full of joy. We want them to be educated and smart and intelligent. We want them to know how to communicate with people. I was talking to a business owner, wasn't at our church. He goes, these kids come to us, not our church. He goes, your kids are so outstanding. But these kids come to me and they come to an interview. Because I don't know what they're saying. I don't know if they're saying yes, no, indifferent. And I just smile. This guy's not getting the job. Our kids get good jobs. Our high school kids get good jobs. They know how to have an interview. I want them to know instruments and all the music instruments are taken. I want them to know how to have in the drama department. I want them to know how to speak and how to act. When the college building over here, 27 years ago, Brother Oxford and I, we put mirrors in one room, small room, and it's called the mirror room. And there's a pulpit there. And I said, boys, go in that room and practice. There's a pulpit there. Open up John 3:16. And look at yourself. And while you're preaching or while you're taking a bulletin, make announcements. Say, you feel awkward doing it. Who cares what you feel like? You're in school training. Yep. Say, take John 3:16. Preach a series to yourself in two words. For God. I want to say tonight that for God. It's not man, it's God. It's not a church, it's God. For God. Preach about for God for a while. Next time you go in there, so loved. Thank God for the love of God. And preach about the love of God. The world. Talk about the world. He gave his son that whosoever. Just preach. Why? I want to be ready. That man of God came to this pulpit and prayed as our missionary tonight. Why, he just greeted us. I thought, what a good man. He was encouraging you how great you were. He was encouraging us that he knew how to walk with God in praise. And I tell you, Uganda, so blessed to have him. Thanks for bringing me coffee back from Uganda. It's going to be great. But nonetheless, that's training. Those kids grew up in good homes. Brother Caleb's mom and dad, good people loving the Lord up in Canada. He was so sick with cancer. It must have been hard being on the mission field, watching your dad going through all that trial. But God has blessed him. Little Carson here tonight, the missionary boy and baby come out, all that God's done for them. But they've been prepared. They learned. They came to class, and boy, I can watch them. I can see them right now, like all of our students that come, just so hungry for the Word of God. To grow, learn good works. But secondly, in the Bible, learn humility. If you're writing it down, 1 Corinthians 4:6, and these things, brethren, I've transferred from myself to Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you should be puffed up against another. You cannot go in the ministry puffed up. You cannot be a CEO of a company puffed up. You cannot be the CFO of a company puffed up. This business of pride, I have more than the next person, so I'm more important than you. I have a better job than you, so I'm more important than you. We ought not to think of ourselves so highly, but God says that we reduce ourselves. Jesus, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given to him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to say that Jesus knew what before honor is humility. God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. You're in business tomorrow. You have people underneath you. Don't go in arrogant. Don't go in that you're the big cheese around there. He that is greater than let him be servant. Instead of people bringing you coffee, why don't you bring them coffee? Why don't you learn some skills of reducing yourself to elevate others? Amen. I'd like to say thirdly tonight that we learn to do well in life. My Bible says in Isaiah 1:17, learn to do well. Practice doing well. Good things. Number four, learn obedience. Hebrews 5:8. As a son, Jesus, he learned obedience. The key in your child's life, the very youngest they begin to understand things, is learning to obey. Obey. We obey mother, we obey dad, we obey authority, we obey the word of God, and we obey every spiritual impulse. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. When God moves on my wife's heart, I better try to help that couple. I better try to help that kid. I better help that young person. I can do something for them financially. They do it every time you ought to obey. I can recall when my dad was here 33 years as a member of Mother. And I've told you this before. My dad started giving that hard candy away. He said, Dad, you can't do that. These little kids can choke on that. He says, okay, I won't do that. He started bringing quarters. I said, I don't know if that's any better, but give me one, will you please? My dad was tight with me, but he was good to those kids. Learn to do well. Learn to obey. I'm about finished. Learn contentment. We have read, I have learned in whatsoever state, whatever environment. We try to change the environment to our liking. God says, whatsoever state you're in, be content. Contentment is, I'm okay. I have enough. I'm all right. Stop complaining about life. Everything's not such a drama. Well, it's too hot today. Well, it's too cold today. Well, there's too much traffic. Well, I'll tell you what, these drivers around here, now you can complain about that if you want. I think for the sake of time, I'll skip and just give you one more. Learn the Bible. And Moses said in the ears of all the people concerning the law, he gave them that you may learn them. I love this old Bible. Thank God for the Word of God.
Amen.
Learn it. Every Sunday morning for about a 3 or 4 minute moment, Brother Moyer and I make a 3-4 minute video And I'm shocked how many people watch it. Today I came to him at 9 o'clock this morning by the Statue of Liberty out here. And I said, would you just go to Walmart? And I showed him a $1 book, a notebook. September 1st is coming. Get your time when you're going to read the Bible and pray, and get your chair where you're going to sit. It could be at a desk, it could be at an office at the house, it could be right here. And if you, I said, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. If you like a cup of coffee, get it there and get your pens and your marking. I'll go to the dollar store and get pencils that are different color markings, and work with your Bible. And work with the prayer page, and work with a journal, and put a prayer request down. God says, I want you to learn that. Take my yoke upon, learn of me. I was a foolish young man in high school, junior high and high school, especially high school. Elementary school, elementary, you have to do the assignments, and mother makes sure you got the homework done, and I did it all. And I got to high school, I hated high school. I hated it. I did not like school. I did not like studying. I did not like English and science and history. I liked typing. I could do fairly good. I liked PE, love PE, physical education. I hated school. I just hated it. And I became a junior. I got out of school at noon and worked a 40-hour a week job as a junior in high school because I took all the easy classes. I took wood shop and metal shop and electric shop and auto shop, everything you could take. I was not a good student. And at 12 o'clock, I got out of school and went to work. I worked 40 hours a week. I loved it. I'd already been working. I remember digging, I told you a few weeks ago, digging a pool. Big pool from my uncle, dug it, moved all the dirt out, carried it and unloaded the truck. I loved working. I had my paper route. I loved the paper route, and it grew, and it just, I loved working. I had a yard business. I loved it as a 12-year-old and 13-year-old. I just loved it. And then working in that junior, and my senior year, I got out of school at 9 o'clock in the morning. I worked a full-time job and a part-time job. But I missed out on learning. I missed out. Brother Bruce, I think God was putting something in my heart. I love work. I just love it. I just love working. Recently just cut down a couple big trees with a hatchet and my big old axe in my backyard. They were dying. I got that, I had to work on that thing, and I love working. I love cutting the lawn. I love trimming trees. I love trimming bushes. I put the backpack on around. I love working. Amen. I just love it. I love it. Amen. It's relaxing to me. Thanks, Brother Peter. We both love. I love it. But I was not learning anything. Work ethic, yes, but not academics. I can recall flying across the country to Wisconsin to go to college. They said it's entrance exam. I was on the second floor. They said, let's see where you place in English. All of us were there. Let's see where you place. You want to not 99 means you have to take it for no credit because you're dumb. You want to be in 101 or 102, some test to 103. I took the test, and I was taking the test, and I'll never forget the lady. I raised my hand. She said, diagram this sentence. I said, you know what? I saw that one time in seventh grade. I looked in a room, and I saw they made a line. They made this line, and they diagrammed that stuff. Is that diagram? And she said, son, don't even take the test. We'll just go ahead and put you in 99. I thought, great. I don't even have to take the test. I'm in 99. But Brother Oxford, I found out you don't get credit for 99. And you know what? I wasn't embarrassed. Because I went to college with the desire, I'm going to learn. I'm going to become a student. Amen. I got in my subjects, wrote my papers, read the books. I spent a lot of time in the Bible. Got jobs, work my jobs. God was doing something in my heart. I love studying. Always worked 40 hours a week in college. I'd be driving cars up and down the freeways in Wisconsin and deliver one car here and pick up another car and bring it back to this city and go over to Milwaukee and go over to Racine and going up to, you know, Oshkosh and all these different cities around there. I worked at the Miller's Auto Parts store. I liked that job. And just working in that place was awesome. I worked as a mopping the floors through the night hours, and they let me go and work whatever hours I wanted through the night. And they even said, Jack, if you want, you can go into the rooms. And I used the blackboard. We had chalk and blackboards then. And I can remember writing everything down. I started learning how to memorize. And I had to memorize the 19 kings of Judah and the 19 kings of Israel. And I had to memorize this. And I just write things down. And I made acrostics out of things. And I became a good student. I was shocked. And I got all finished after 3.5 years, supposed to do 4. And they said, you got 2 majors and 2 minors. Little did I know that God was going to call me to preach. I was going to study the rest of my life. I won't be surprised if sometime through the night, tonight I can't sleep, I'll get up, I'll study. And I love it. But I missed a lot of things that I should have got in high school. I got work ethic, but I didn't get learning. And young people, I had to develop that. And it became a passion in my life. To study. I love studying. Send me something. Give me something. I'll read it. I'll study it. I'll spend time with it. Good. I have the most amazing library, and I know the libraries are a thing of the past. But I have commentaries, and I have books, and I have the studies, and I have autobiographies and biographies of sports personalities, coaches, and I have management classes and money books and family books and home books and baseball players and basketball players and football players and great books that they have read. I read all the time. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss learning. No telling what you teenagers can do with you. No telling. Go to camp and learn how to read your Bible. Learn how to study the scriptures. Yes, sir. I came here and our church was so young, and there weren't a lot of seasoned Christians. That first Sunday night, I remember we had 20 people here, and 22, and 2 were nursery age kids, and 2 are high school kids, my wife and I. There were not a lot of people here. And Brother Poussin, God just did something. The church began to explode. People were getting saved and coming. And I was teaching adult Sunday school class, and I realized they didn't even know the books of the Bible. And I remember on that 1977, 78, saying, okay, now class, you have to remember the books of the Bible. One way, I used a chalkboard when I was in college, and I didn't have one there in Sunday school that day, but I wrote down Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I said, take the first letter, G, E, Genesis, Exodus. In the 1970s, General Electric was a big thing. We had General Electric around here and a plant here, and people talk about it. And so I said, okay, General Electric, that's Genesis, Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Well, lights. I know you're going to think I'm crazy. General Electric, lights. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Never. Deuteronomy, die. Joy's laughing down there because it's crazy. General Electric car, General Electric lights never die. And those poor people are looking at me like, he's nuts. Next week I said, How many know the first five books of the Bible? And they began to say, General Electric lights never die. I said, what's the G stand for? Genesis. I know that's crazy to you. But for 50 years almost, we've been trying to teach people the Word of God. That's what you do in that school. You're teaching them history. Where will they go in America to know what? Every student's getting the Constitution again this year. I want them to know the Constitution. I want them to know the Bill of Rights. I want them to know what a woman is. Because who knows, one day they might be a Supreme Court justice and they can't define what a woman is. Can't believe we got a lady on the court doesn't even know what a woman is. I want them to know about biology and X chromosomes and Y chromosomes, and this is a man, this is a lady, and there's, and God only created two, male and female, not 67 genders.
Amen.
I want them to know, you, Brother Panera takes those seniors and gives them a life class, and he teaches all of our kids before they're seniors. They know how to handle money, I'll guarantee it. They know how to work for money. Do you realize unless if a person gets out of our school and gets away from God, they don't generally do very well. But we have never had one person in school in 48 years ever go on any government assistance, ever, if they live for God. Take my yoke upon you. I could talk to you all night. I'm out of time. I'm just challenging all of us, learn. You sweet ladies. Most of you have to work a job with you. Your husband works a job, you're so busy. But if you live in an environment where your husband goes to work and you're able to stay home, you get those kids a good breakfast and it's not Starbucks on the way. You get them a good breakfast. And the dear lady, being a housewife, being a mother, being a wife, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you have that privilege to do that, you take that house and you go to the bed of your little girls and your little boys and your teenage kids, and you go to where your husband and go and kneel and pray for your husband, pray for your children. Pray for Christians. Pray for the church. Pray for America.
Amen.
I don't know who, but one of these people running for office is making fun. You just want to have women stay at home and have babies and be barefoot in the kitchen. That's disrespectful to say something like that. But it's a high calling. And ladies, there's nothing wrong with you taking a nap in the afternoon if you're tired. And there's nothing wrong with you getting alone with a cup of coffee after everybody's finally gone to school and you read your Bible and let God speak to you so that when they come home, mama's there. I know most of you cannot be. I know how it is. I know you're working and not just trying to get rich, trying to just make it through life. I know that. Let's get information so we can teach it to our children. My dad taught me everything. I remember him teaching me how to mow a lawn. I remember how to edge that lawn when we didn't have anything electric or gas. Remember how he taught me to cut it two ways and to sweep everything up. When you're done sweeping it up, you hose everything down. I remember working on cars and rebuilding motors with him. I owned 10 cars in high school. I'd fix them and flip them. I owe so much to my parents, they taught me.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.